Just a quick announcement first. Maybe when you came into church today, you saw the artwork in the back, the beautiful Bethlehem artwork. The family that represents that and helps support that is their ministry, their mission to help support the Christian community in Bethlehem, which, as you know, is diminishing in size and they suffer a lot of persecution. The lady who usually represents this particular ministry, I think her first name was Sihan, she could not be here this year. So the ministry is carrying on in her family. She sent her son and his wife and their tiny baby to present these opportunities for you to look at this beautiful artwork. It's all hand-carved from olive wood, and they do beautiful work. So it's, if you want to do your Christmas shopping early, this would be a great opportunity. So the second announcement I want to make today, I know there's a lot of troubled people about this upcoming election. And many people kind of feel that they're not interested in either candidate. And that probably represents the feeling of an awful lot of people. Unfortunately, those are the two main candidates that the nation has selected. And so we choose one or the other. Some people would like to say, well, this is an opportunity not to vote. I will protest by not voting. Well, your protest elects what you probably don't want elected. So it's important for us as citizens of this country, as Christian citizens, to vote. How you vote that's pretty much up to you. That's your decision. But since most of us don't like either candidate, we don't look at their personalities, but we look at what they stand for. And for us as Catholics, there's a couple principles involved in this that we need to really seriously look at and think about. And the one is the issue of life. It is God's gift to us. Nobody has a right to take it away at any stage from the beginning until natural death. That's nobody's right. Nobody has it's not the right of anybody to do that. And so we have the one party who promotes that, and they want to promote it even further, that you can abort up to the last day before natural birth if you choose to do so. That is one of the issues that we as Catholics oppose vehemently. The second issue that is very much a concern is that the infringement on the right, religious rights of people, through religious freedom, which in our country we have enjoyed since the beginning. But what they're trying to make us do is pay for some of this stuff that we consider immoral, absolutely anti-God, and they expect us to pay for that. So if you can't vote for a particular person because you don't like either one, look at what they stand for, and then you make your vote. Say a prayer. Say a prayer for yourself that you choose wisely. Say a prayer for our country that we choose wisely. It's a very, very important election, and it is important for us, even if we don't feel like voting, it is very important for us to go and vote. Nobody tells you how to vote. You choose that yourself. But think about these things that we stand for. Now, finally, I have a few words to say this Sunday. The church, this time of the year, kind of focuses on death. Did you ever notice that? It's kind of like the time of the year when nature seems to go to sleep, the bears go into their caves, and the trees drop their leaves, and the days become shorter. It's like we all go into kind of a hibernation time. And frequently, or usually at this time of the year, we begin to reflect on death. We have All Saints Day, when we commemorate all those who went before us, who have followed what God has asked of them, who followed the example of Christ, and now live with Him in glory. We pray for all souls, for those who live decent lives, but somehow or another need the purification so that they can have the full vision of God face to face. whatever that is for us. And then it's just a good time for us to reflect on death itself. And the reason we reflect on death is it helps us to live correctly. It helps us to live rightly. It helps us to live according to the values and principles that we put before us that we say are important to us. But that can so easily be lost in our world and in our busyness, in our daily life, in our family life. It's very easy to kind of forget about some of those things because we have to deal with so much in our world today. So it's very easy for us to kind of forget those things. Like it's easy to forget our patience when we're driving. It's easy to forget our patience when we're dealing with kids. Sometimes spouses, it's easy to lose your patience. So it's a time for us to reflect, well, why should I even bother about trying to be patient? Except that God said, I live in every other person that you deal with. I'm present in every one of them. You expect to treat me with dignity. I expect you to treat them with dignity because I live in them. And we can go on with honesty, our immorality, amorality, that we suffer a lot from these days. Say, addictions that we allow ourselves to get into, risking life, risking everything, family, securities of all kinds, jobs. We get into those, taking a chance that maybe it'll be all right. So we think about those things. That's not what God said. God said, I made you a temple of my presence in this world. How can you mistreat this body that I've given to you by taking all these chances that you know are very dangerous and may destroy who you are and what you stand for and your very life itself? So it's important for us once in a while to think about death. Most of the time, the only time we think about it is if we have to deal with it in family life or a friend or somebody who is close to us, that we have to deal with it then. It's always a painful thing when we have to deal with that sort of death. But at the same time, we all know that somewhere along the way, our journey is going to end here also. If we live by what we believe that this journey here, this life that I enjoy now, is one day going to end. But my life is not going to end. This life that I have here is going to end. But I'm going to transition into the presence of God. And the way we remind ourselves of that is think about all of the promises that God has made to us. Look at the Maccabees. Even in the way back in those days, they had the hope. They didn't want to die any more than we do. They liked their life. They liked where they were. And to enter into that uncertain eternity, it's a little bit scary sometimes. But they were willing to do that because they would rather sacrifice their life than sacrifice what God has promised to them. So way back then, they were talking about that. And then Christ comes along and shows us that beyond this life, there is a new life. He showed that to us in his resurrection. He took away everything that separates us from God and from one another. He made it possible for all of that to be wiped out. All we have to do is ask him, and he forgives, and it's gone. And he says, and I want you all one day to be with me in eternity. Even the thief on the cross, next to Jesus, he said, Lord, think about me when you get to your eternal home. And Jesus said to the thief, you'll be with me today. So it's that kind of promise that we have to look forward to. But it's going to cost us something. That is maybe the cross that we all have to bear in this lifetime. How do I get there? It's by being faithful to what I promised in my baptism, what Christ has promised to me, what the example that he has given to me, being faithful to that throughout our lifetime, even when it's difficult, even when it's painful, even when people laugh at you and make fun of you. He said, it's all worthwhile because I prepared you to be with me for all eternity. And what you think you have here in this world now is nothing compared to what you will have when you are permanently in heaven with me. So it's important for us today, and during this time of the year, to think about these final things, because one day we're all going to have to face it personally, not just in our families, but ourselves. We all know that somewhere along the way, we're going to check out. And when I check out, I want to know that I'm in good standing with the one on the other side of this life, who says to me, I prepared a place for you for all eternity. I've been waiting for you to be with me. This journey is your test. It's to see, are you willing to be loyal? Are you willing to love? Are you willing to be faithful? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to be my presence in this world? As I was here to live and teach and suffer and die and rise again, that's what I want from you. Are you willing to do that? So death is not the end, not for us who believe. Can you imagine what life must be like for those who have no faith at all? What it must be like for somebody who doesn't believe in anything? Oh, the only pleasure they can find in life is the things around them, which we know all sooner or later decay or die or whatever, or run out. Can you imagine what life must be like for somebody like that? And yet sometimes we risk that. Sometimes we risk that in our own lives. That I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to take a chance that God's not paying attention, if I even think about him at all. But he promises to us, if you are faithful, I have a reward for you in eternity, for all eternity, far beyond anything that you can ever imagine. Are you willing to work toward that? So it's important for us once in a while, in our own personal lives, to take the time and think about not somebody else's death, about our own. How do I stand with God? Is it important to me how I stand with him? Do I really live like I believe that there is another life that's going to be forever and not for 50, 100, 100 years, but forever? Do I think about that? What is that going to be like? What if I don't make it there? What would that be like? Nobody knows. But I think this time of the year, it's good for us to once in a while reflect. I'm going to die just like everybody else. Only God knows when that time is. But my job is to do the best that I can as long as I'm around.